Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for October the 8th, 2018. This is David Corey. Thanks for joining us this evening. Hello, Richard.
Hey, David. Good evening. And tonight we have a good show planned for everybody. We're going to discuss our multimedia project on the cost of war and promoting peace building. But first, I'd like to acknowledge two sponsors of our show, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli. His financial contribution helps us provide this weekly show for the benefit of veterans and their families across the country. And once again, I'd also like to remind all our veterans and their families and any other listeners that this is a call-in show. We welcome your views and your comments and your questions. We'd like you to call in during the show at any time and let us know what's on your mind. You might have an issue regarding the VA. You might have an issue regarding your own personal situation dealing with the VA. We'd like to hear about them. We'd like you to share it with the other veterans that might be listening. It's very important that we all kind of stick together and see what everybody's doing around the country so that we can possibly help each other. So if you do want to call in, our number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008, and during the show, we'll also remind everybody what that number is. Again, one more time, 1-888-627-6008. So pick up your phone and give us a call. Back to you, David.
Thanks, Richard. Before we get into our talk this evening about the multimedia project, I just wanted to take a moment and talk about something on a personal note. Richard, host of the show last week in my absence, I had flown to Denver, Colorado on a short notice last Monday. The day before, a good friend of two of my daughters who lived in Colorado and were roommates, and one of my daughters had been friends with this young woman. His name was Angela Wimmer. Well, Angela was killed by a drunk driver the day before, Sunday, September 30th. And I just wanted to take a moment and remember Angela, who was a good friend to so many people. 25 years old, she was on her way home from church that Sunday afternoon. Was at a red light in Lakewood, Colorado. Stopped at a red light, and this drunk driver who had six prior drunk driving arrests in the Denver area, Lakewood area, going back over about 15 years or so. He plowed into the back of her car, went into the intersection where it was hit by three other cars, and she passed away a couple hours later in the hospital despite the efforts of surgeons to save her life. Very tragic. The driver of the pickup truck that hit her is now sitting in jail in Lakewood where he belongs, and hopefully he'll get a long time in prison to think about his crimes, basically. No excuse. You know, Richard, we've talked a lot over the last year and a half on this program about people, particularly veterans, that suffer from alcohol and drug abuse problems, and you know, we've heard the stories of many veterans who have struggled with those problems and who have successfully sought help. And of course, there are many out there that don't seek help. And this individual, whose name was Todd Grunsky, the driver of that pickup truck that killed Angela Wimmer, like I say, six prior drunk driving arrests. So you have to wonder how many other times was he out there driving on the road, putting everyone's life in danger. So I just wanted to Remember Angela Wimmer, may she rest in peace, left the world too soon at the age of 25 and left a lot of brokenhearted family members and friends. But I also want to use this opportunity to remind people that if you know someone or if you yourself have a drug or alcohol problem, get help. You know, it may literally be saving a life. People that get behind the wheel are a deadly threat to everyone else, and they need to stay off the road. They need to get help, and people that know them need to really encourage them to get help. I'd venture to say that a lot of people knew Todd Grunsky had drinking problems. Like I say, with 6 drunk driving arrests, law enforcement certainly knew him quite well, but Colorado's incredibly lax laws didn't keep him off the road. So he ended up killing someone. Get help if you have a problem. If you know someone that has a problem, stay on them until they get help. Keep them off the road. Now, let me turn it over to you, Richard, before we get back to our main topic tonight, which is our multimedia project on the costs of war and peace building. Any thoughts?
Well, yeah, first, David, welcome back. And that was tough duty for a dad to have to go through, and so many tragic situations involving motor vehicles and drunk drivers. And, you know, we've got that situation up in New York State involving the wedding party. You know, I think 17 people were in the car killed, and then 3 people that the car plowed into. And now all sorts of information's coming out about that car. And the driver didn't even have a CDL license. And so it's just tragic all the way around. And people like in Angela's case, coming back from church, picking up your daughters to go out for lunch on a Sunday, beautiful Sunday afternoon. You know, what can you say? So just, you know, lots of prayers, I guess. Just send lots of prayers to a lot of people. But welcome back, David. So as far as, let's get right into our project, David. You know, this was kind of your brainchild from the beginning. And, you know, I'm still working on the Camp Hope project, but I'm kind of putting that on the back burner because we've got, you know, this multimedia project going. So
yeah,
why don't you, you know, kind of give us, you know, we've got a lot of philosophies here about this multimedia project, and there's one very interesting thing that I've been doing ever since I started really focusing on it. You know, we've identified the United States Institute for Peace, and we've talked about it on this show, and it is amazing to me how many people, and I'm talking about people who, you know, listen to the news, they read, they're up on a lot of things. When I asked them what, you know, if they had ever heard of the Institute for Peace, United States Institute for Peace, they just looked at me like I had just dropped in from Mars. And most recently, I spoke at a Rotary in Dade City, Florida, and there were about 100 people there, all business people. Men and women, owners of businesses. There were a couple of pastors there. And, yeah, I mentioned this, too, and I said, by a show of hands, how many of you have heard of the United States Institute for Peace? Not one hand went up. David, that tells me, you know, why our project is so important, because, as we've talked about, the changing of the paradigm must start to shift when it comes to military intervention overseas, and this idea that we're, you know, going to ratchet up the military versus possible peaceful ways of handling disputes. So that to me is just another reason why our multimedia project is so important. Back to you, David.
Right. Well, I think that's a great thing. What's interesting, Richard, when you said last Monday you went to speak to the Rotary group. I've never been a member of a Rotary group, but I've you know, from what I understand about them and read about them and talking to people, that you know, one of their major goals, of many goals, though, is to promote peace, to promote friendship and peaceful resolution of conflict, including international arena. And I know that that nationally, you know, the Rotary group, you know, has programs and supports programs to promote peace. So it's interesting that in that context, you know, when you're meeting with 100 members, that none of them, not a single one, had heard of the United States Institute of Peace. And for those of you that are listening, you may not have heard about it either. Well, check it out. It's the United States Institute of Peace, and its website is usip.org, usip.org. It's a nonprofit organization that was started by Congress, by act of Congress, back in the Reagan administration, 1984. Its major proponents were members of Congress, a few members of Congress that had served in World War II. They knew war, and they wanted, they even going back into the 70s, and during the Carter administration, there had been talk that we needed to have something like that. In fact, there's been other groups still today that say we need something more than the United States Institute of Peace, that we need a cabinet-level department. Like we have the State Department, we have the Defense Department, but we ought to have a department that's dedicated to promoting the peaceful resolution of conflict. The closest thing we have to it for our federal government is the United States Institute of Peace, USIP.org. It's a very small organization. For many years, it shared office space and an office building in downtown. Now it has its own very modern-looking headquarters, if you're familiar with Washington, D.C., along the mall, the far west side of the mall, the northwest corner of the mall, just north of the Lincoln.
Beautiful building.
Just north of the Lincoln Memorial is the United States Institute of Peace. That building is, I'm not sure when it was finished, I think 2011 or so, somewhere around there.
Yeah, 2011, David.
Yeah, it's less than a decade old. It's very modern looking, but it's also not very big. And they have a relatively small staff that I understand. I think it's in the hundreds of people. And they've got some people that that work overseas, where you would expect they would be working in other countries, trying to work with both national leaders in those countries, but also at the local level, to analyze the causes of conflict, to help mediate conflict, and to train people about conflict resolution. Now, of course, you may say, many people have never even heard of the United States Institute of Peace. You may be interested to know that its annual budget is less than $38 million. Now, to any of us individually, $38 million is a significant amount of money. It's a lot of money. But when you're dealing with an organization that's supposed to have national and international responsibilities, $38 million is a drop in the bucket. Compare that to the Defense Department budget of this year, which is over $700 billion. $700 billion versus $38 million for the United States Institute of Peace. Now, again, most people really can't wrap your head around what $1 billion is, let alone $700 billion of the DOD budget. But let's look at it this way. If you drop some of those zeros off, just to try to understand and appreciate the relative difference between the DOD budget and the USIP budget. If you dropped several zeros off, it would be like comparing $700,000 to $38. So you have two organizations, the Defense Department, whose mission is to defend the country, but also, as we know, for many decades, we've essentially created a military empire around the globe. And then the USIP's budget, paltry. Again, the ratio would be, again, comparing something like $700,000 to $38, less than two $20 bills. So with that kind of a budget, they're not going to get much done. And the fact is, that probably explains why most Americans have not heard of it. And in fact, I know Richard, and you can tell us more, because you kind of made it a recent project of yours, when you meet people to and you talk about this project, to ask them if they've heard about the USIP. You mentioned the Rotary Group, but I know you've talked to other people about it. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think you've yet met someone that's ever heard of it, right?
I've had one friend of mine, and when I tell you that I've probably talked to over 350 people, I'm not exaggerating. And the friend of mine that had heard of it, I've known since college, and we've always been very active politically. And so when I mentioned it to him not too long ago, right away, he said, "Oh yeah, I've heard about it. You know, I've read about it." And so that didn't surprise me. But I would have expected that a lot more people, like my friend Doug, would have also at least heard about it. You know, Dave, we're not even talking about, you know, asking somebody what do they know about it.
Right.
My question was, have you heard about it?
Right. Yeah.
And
the next question,
only one person in about 350 people affirmatively said, "Oh yeah, I've heard about it." And he went on to talk about it. I mean, he actually knew something about it. He didn't know what we knew, what we know about the budget and everything, but he knew that it existed. He didn't really know much about the funding aspect of it. So, but it is, you know, and this goes to the core, one of the core ideas that we have about our media project, which is to raise awareness. You know, what's wrong with raising awareness for peace building? You know, David, I think you, when we were talking about the amount of money that's budgeted for the United States Institute for Peace, you then right away said to me, "Well, this is what it costs to build an F-15.
Well, an F-22.
One of our fighter planes is more expensive than the budget that we have for this department. Correct me if I'm wrong, but
the specific one, the Air Force has several different models of jets that they use, but the F-22. A single F-22 fighter jet the Air Force uses costs about three times the amount of an annual budget for the United States Institute of Peace. Three times. Now, of course, that F-22 is going to fly for more than a year, but then you have to also factor in that there are maintenance costs. You know, every plane requires a crew of people to maintain it, with support people behind them, and so. It's a lot of money, and you would think that this reflects something that should be very clear, priorities. The federal government demonstrates its priorities by how it spends money. And believe it or not, as paltry as the USIP budget has been, in past years there have been efforts by both liberals and conservatives to zero out that budget. In other words, to get rid of it entirely, that they think that it's something the critics will say that, "Oh, it's just, it doesn't do anything, it's just a think tank," or it's perhaps it's been corrupted by influence from DOD or CIA or others. The bottom line, though, is when you're looking at the priorities, you're asking yourself, how is it that the United States is essentially, create an international military empire, and it seems like our first international response to conflict is to escalate, very bellicose talk, even if we don't go to war. But certainly the fact we've still got fighting going on in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, and many other countries around the world in the so-called global war on terror. So. There are a lot of issues here, and we're certainly, at least, I know we're not naive about this when we say that we need to stop war. We realize you're not going to fundamentally change human nature, but we do think that there is a lot of room for promoting peace, promoting peaceful resolution of conflict, and also to turn around the thinking that is based on propaganda, based on misinformation, based on fear-mongering that that leads the United States to feel it needs to spend $700 billion a year on the military and have troops all over the world. So there's a lot of issues here. And before I start talking about what our immediate production plans are starting this week, Richard, what are your further thoughts?
Well, the other thing that I think comes out that we're going to be developing with the project is if you take our DoD budget, and even if you cut it in half and took half of that budget and started putting it into our infrastructure, what a better use of financial resources than just, you know, spending money, you know, creating more war. We have a pathetic, we're talking to a veteran today, a Vietnam veteran, and we were both talking about how pathetic our infrastructure in this country is. You know, we're supposed to be this great, great country, and yet we don't have a bona fide rail system in this country. Our airports are deteriorating by the days. I mean, and we're talking major airports, Chicago O'Hare, Los Angeles. You know, my kids, I don't know how they do it, but they get to Europe, and all they do is they tell me about how easy it is to take a rail from Frankfurt down to Paris or down to Rome. And, you know, how easy it is just to jump on a train and go all around Europe. We don't have anything like that in this country. We can't take a train to Orlando from Tampa. So I just think there has to be a major, major shift in our thinking, a shift in the paradigm, and so many things would benefit by it. And then another issue that I know we're going to be developing is this whole use of the word terrorism. And I know, you know, some people might not like it when I, you know, voice this opinion about it, but, you know, we're so quick, we've been so quick over the last number of shootings in this country, mass shootings, to quickly use the word, well, we need to eliminate the terrorist threat. And, you know, it turns out it wasn't a terrorist at all. It was just some nut who got a hold of a gun who had some mental problems. You know, another breakdown in our society is what the problem was. Another breakdown in our infrastructure is what the problem was. And that's why all those people died. So, you know, if we start thinking about those kind of things and taking that money, obviously there's money available. Let's take that money and put it to some productive use where we can save lives in this country, help lives, help, you know, people in this country, as opposed to sending the money overseas into some godforsaken place, into a war that's just going to ruin lives, going to ruin individual lives, and it's going to ruin their families because they come back with these, you know, horrific physical ailments and these horrific psychological problems, which we've discussed on this program many, many times. You know, people suffering from PTSD as a result of serving abroad. And so, you know, there's just so many good things can happen if we get this paradigm shift. And, you know, we're going to be talking more about this, and I get a little emotional about it, but, you know, David and I both said that, you know, we really, and we are enjoying representing veterans, and we're going to continue doing this for a long time. But we see this multimedia project as somewhat of a legacy for our firm. And so we hope everybody, you know, who's out there listening wants to hear more about it. David, why don't you tell our listeners some more about the film?
Right. Well, basically, the strategic purpose is to use various forms of the media to inform the public, and included in the public would be government officials. We want to inform them about the costs of war, the full spectrum of the costs of war, beyond what people just may superficially know. We want to talk about the costs and the consequences, the effects of militarism. And you may say, what is militarism? It's basically the idea that you need to exert influence around the world through the military as opposed to through other ways, and to use military force to essentially control and influence actions around the world. We also want to talk, this is a very important part, it's really the logical continuation, which is the importance, the practicality, and the possibilities of peace building around the world. It's something that you may conjure up in your mind, images of, you know, people unrealistically hoping that there'll be peace around the world. You know, they stand around and they sing Kumbaya and they, you know, that sort of thing. Well, it's far more complicated than that, because there are a lot of causes of conflict around the world, and peace building is hard work. It's very difficult work. No guarantee of success, as we know. But the point is, you have to take that first step that often gets skipped, which is, are there alternatives to war to resolve this conflict? It seems like that step is being skipped all too often. So the project that we are embarking on really involves multiple organizations and individuals. Myself, Richard Hurley, working with film director Greg Levitt. We're also relying on experts from the Cost of War Project of Brown University, as well as the help of other groups and experts and scholars in these fields above and beyond the Cost of War Project. The multimedia project will be created and publicized in part by, but not exclusively, by a nonprofit organization called Image Essays. You can check out their website at imageessays.org. But the main website for this overall multimedia project is easy to remember. It's stopwar.today. Stopwar.today. Not .com or .org. It's kind of a unique ending of the website. It's stopwar.today. And we envision creating a series of documentaries, some of them short in length, 15 in length, 15 minutes or so, but also I envision some longer full-length documentaries of hour and a half duration, be more thorough. Basically, we're going to explain and analyze the full spectrum of the cost of war, the consequences of the post-9/11 wars, including this apparently never-ending global war on terror. The idea is to be a call-to-action type of film. You know, many of you, when you hear the word documentary, you think of something on PBS, you may watch late at night to cure your insomnia. Well, there's another category of documentaries, and those are call-to-action type of documentaries. Some of you may have been, you know, you're familiar with Michael Moore's documentaries. Those tend to be of the call-to-action type. Or Al Gore's documentary on global warming and climate change, that's a call-to-action type of documentary. Well, that's the same category that we're thinking about, which is we're trying to awaken people, wake up the American public to get thinking about these issues, to be controversial, that we need and need to work for a path towards a new mindset, basically, where the starting point is peace building. How can we work in a peaceful way to resolve these international conflicts rather than the default option being, you know, send in the Marines or send in the Navy or send in the bombers, whatever. It seems to be more of the mindset we've seen in the last 18 years. So I could go on and on, but before I do, Richard, let me turn it over to you, because I know you've got some thoughts on this.
Well, yeah, I guess we could go on and on and on. You know, one of the things that we will be doing in order to help us successfully produce these multimedia projects is seeking donations. Going to be very important. This is a first go around for me producing a film, and I never realized what those costs really are. And it has nothing to do with making a profit. There are all sorts of camera costs, travel costs, so many expenses in order to make these things happen. So, you know, we are hoping that people can get behind the project and donate to our cause and help us, you know, get the message out. Help us, you know, achieve that paradigm that I think everybody really, at the end of the day, I think everybody believes that no war, less war, is better than what we have today. And I was one of the people that were interviewing is Professor Bilmes from Harvard. She wrote a book, The Iraqi War, The $3 million war, $3 trillion war, excuse me.
$3 trillion war,
yeah. Yeah. And it came out in 2008. So from 2003 to 2008, the cost there was $3 trillion. And that was as of 2008. It's now been 10 years. And that didn't include Afghanistan. You know, that didn't include what we've been doing, you know, since over in Syria. I mean, our war numbers, the cost of our war are just over the top. And again, you know, why can't we have used that money for something else?
If I could just interrupt there.
Yeah, please do.
And give people some concrete ideas. Again, I'm convinced people really can't grasp, and I don't blame them because it's hard for me to grasp, what is $3 trillion? What is $1 trillion? What is $700 billion? What is $500 million. These are just numbers with a lot of zeros. Well, there's an organization that's called the National Priorities Project, and their website is nationalpriorities.org, nationalpriorities.org. And they've got this interactive program on their website where you can basically imagine that you are in charge of the national budget, and you were in charge of the funds spent on national defense, and you could take, let's say, designate 1% of that and see what that would buy in terms of other needs for the country, domestic needs of the country, whether it was, as you've been saying, Richard, you know, the infrastructure for transportation, but also creating jobs and, or providing health insurance for people or any number of things. And so go to their website, nationalpriorities.org, and you can essentially run through this program, you know, and get a sense, really, of what hundreds of billions and even trillions of dollars could spend. And what's fascinating about the National Priorities Project interactive program is that there's so many variables. You could pick, you know, from dozens of choices of how you would spend the money or any combination of those, as well as the duration. For instance, you could say, well, let's see, spent $1 trillion on education, healthcare, infrastructure, other things, and I wanted to budget that out over 20 years. How far, how many teacher jobs would that pay for? How many schools would that build? How many hospitals would that pay for? How many students would that put through college on four-year scholarships? Just go down the line. So check that out, because that's really where it will start sinking into people, that we make choices. And you may be thinking, well, it's for our national defense, but think about it this way. How much money do you need to be secure? And at some point, are you being played by the military-industrial complex. For those who have a financial stake, and believe me, there are many large corporations that have a huge financial stake in selling military as the solution. You know, there's the old saying, it's one of my favorite sayings, it says, when the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem starts looking like a nail. Well, it seems like our foreign affairs, international relations, too often, the only tool in its toolbox is the military. So every international problem starts looking like a military problem. So let's say we've got conflict with China over transiting some area of the ocean off the coast of China near the Philippine Islands and some of the other countries, Vietnam, that area. So China obviously is escalating things a bit, and how are we responding? Escalating things even further, sending ships and planes, poking them right in the nose. What do you think is going to happen? It's like we're just escalating things. So don't be surprised if we have some sort of incident. It goes into armed conflict. It's really absurd. You know, I think what we need in the paradigm shift is to start thinking about the fact that there are hundreds of countries in this world, and the United States is made up of people from practically every country in the world, a very diverse country. And even though the United States has its own problems, you know, and a lot of division, we all know that, it's pretty obvious, but still we were able to manage to get along on a certain level, and we ought to be able to use the fact that we're a very diverse country to gain from that insight and learn how to deal with other countries internationally and build friendships, at least avoid war, even if we can't be friends with some of these countries that maybe their cultures are too different, but at least that we reach a common understanding that war is not going to make things better. It's only going to make things worse. So whether you look around the globe and it's Iran, Syria, North Korea, China, any of these other countries where we seem to be always at the edge of war, that's where this paradigm shift where we start need to think, okay, so what other tools are in our toolbox to resolve international conflict? Well, there needs to be something other than the military. That should be the last resort. We're not taking it off the table entirely. We're not stupid or naive. But it should not be the first choice. That's where this paradigm shift, this change of mindset comes in. So that's a big part of
David, if I can jump in here.
Go ahead.
You know, one of the things about, and you and I are litigators, and I spent 35 years litigating. When I first started, way back when, litigation was the tool. You know, you filed your complaint, the other person answered, and you prepared for a trial. You know, you prepared to do battle in a courtroom. And then over time, because our society became so litigious, we started finding alternative ways to dealing with these disputes. And I remember back almost 20 years ago when I was president of a local bar in New Jersey, county bar in New Jersey. And I sat down with the assignment judge and a couple of other judges, and we were discussing, you know, how can we unburden the court system, because it was clearly overburdened. It was costing a lot of money for judges. And we started implementing settlement conferences and mediation, and it was all voluntary back then. You know, you didn't have to participate in it, but most lawyers did, because the judges were running the program, and if you didn't participate, then you didn't want to show up in court one day and kind of looking for a favor, and you weren't involved in the mediation, the settlement program, so that kind of was a black eye on you. So you got involved and you even volunteered your own time to try to help settle some of these cases to ease the burden of the court system. Well, this worked so well that it became part of the court rules and the civil and criminal procedure in New Jersey now. And, you know, today, you know, you ask lawyers up in New Jersey, and they'll tell you, I don't know how we ever got through this system without doing this kind of stuff. And yeah, in the beginning, it was kind of a pain in the neck. But as you got used to it and started implementing it, you realized the benefit to everybody. It was a benefit to the litigators, to the judges, to the lawyers. Everybody benefited.
Well, the parties, too. They ought to be the first.
Consideration. Yeah, it's the litigants themselves. But but also the cost went down for everybody. And, you know, you think about the military in that same vein. If, you got to the peace table before initiating airplanes and, you know, jet fighters and your ships, and you got to the peace table and talk about options, how can you resolve this? I know I had recently in my research, during the dispute between Saddam Hussein and Kuwait over the oil that was being stolen, the offer on the table, Saddam Hussein wanted $10 billion, and Kuwait was willing to pay $9 billion for what they had done by stealing the oil. Well, they couldn't get it done. They were $1 billion apart, and instead we ended up in the war that we have today. That's just ludicrous. Obviously, back then, they didn't put the kind of effort that they should have put into getting it done at the settlement table that they should have. Maybe they just wanted to go to war. Who knows? But, you know, clearly, those are the kind of methods that can benefit. You know, and David, you were talking about, you know, we have different cultures and, you know, we might not see eye to eye. But the one thing we do all see eye to eye on is we all have children. We all have grandchildren. And those of us who are now grandfathers and grandmothers and who've been through enough hate and war, and again, I say this because I talk to my vets all the time, they don't want for their grandchildren what they went through. And I think that's a safe bet around the world, that down deep people do want peace. So we've got to do the peace building. You know, we've tried, as David said, you know, we've tried the hammer and the nail. Let's try some peace building. And you know, in making the shift from military to peace building, you need to examine the following: dangers posed by military-industrial complex as well as private security companies like Blackwater, now called by another name. Dangers of biased media that furthers pro-war propaganda and not peace building. Dangers of military entertainment complex. Military used media entertainment to glorify militarism, nothing similar for peace building. Now, to emphasize that peace building does not mean unilateral disarmament or surrender to enemies, peace building is hard work, requiring courage, continual efforts in many situations. So we're going to examine some of these peace building methods. We're going to show the successful cases, the unsuccessful ones, but that are still trying. So, tune in and see our development and try to help us out. Back to you, David.
Well, thanks. And this is a nonprofit effort. These films that we'll be producing will be free. You will be able to see these for free on YouTube, through other forums, hopefully in theaters that will have been paid for, the screenings paid for. They'll be distributed to schools, colleges, universities. They'll be distributed to groups and organizations of all types to get people thinking. And hopefully people will find this these films to be eye-opening. But we would appreciate your financial support. If you're able to donate, you can go to the website, stopwar.today, and look for the donate button. You can either donate online. There's a PayPal link, which is linked to the head of Image Essays, which is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. So it is a charitable contribution. And if you're not interested in making an online donation, but you prefer to write a check, you can do that. You can write out a check and send it to Image Essays, which is the 501c3 charitable organization. And on the website, Stop War Today, under Donate, you'll find the address, the mailing address, which is in Houston, for Image Essays. So you can help this cause, and if helping financially is not within your means at this point, but you'd like to get involved, we are very happy to welcome your involvement of your time and your talent, your ideas, whatever you can contribute. Contact us. Again, contact us through the website, stopwar.today. Reach out to us. Our phone numbers are there. Email's there. There's a way to send us a message through the website. Contact us and share with us how you'd like to help, how you'd like to get involved, because we'd certainly appreciate your help. As far as where we're at with this project, later this week we're going to start filming interviews of some experts, including some of the directors and contributing members of the Costs of War Project. Costs of War Project is sponsored by Brown University, but some of the members are associated with other universities, or they're just individual scholars. And we'll be interviewing and filming their interviews later this week and then next week as well. And some of the documentaries will be, of course, incorporating those interviews as well as additional information. So stay tuned. We'll be keeping you updated on the progress of these projects. But again, if you can help, go to stopwar.today. You can donate or you can contact us if there's particular areas of interest that you have on how you might want to contribute. So I hope our listeners have found that interesting. If you want to give us a call tonight, again, our toll-free call-in number, we've got about 8 minutes left in tonight's show. Call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. So, check out our website. We've got an excellent resources page there where you can, it'll take you to various other links, including the link to the Cost of War Project, including the website and videos by the United States Institute of Peace, links to their training programs, because the Institute of Peace, part of their charter originally, the idea behind it was, members of Congress wanted to create kind of a national academy for peace to kind of balance out the service academies that we have for the military. You know, we have West Point, we have the Naval Academy, we've got the Air Force Academy, we've got the Coast Guard Academy, all those academies, the service, military service academy. Well, some members of Congress, and these were people that were veterans of World War II, a pretty bloody, horrible war, and they said, we need to have something that teaches peace building. And so that was part of the genesis, what ultimately led to the United States Institute of Peace. So on their website, usip.org, they've got links to training materials. You can take free online classes. They also have online classes where you have to pay kind of a nominal tuition. But they also have a lot of free videos that are posted on their YouTube channel under the United States Institute of Peace. So check those out. Some of them are just a few minutes long. Others are hour to 2 hours, basically symposiums, kind of heavy on content, low on entertainment, but still important. So important things and other resources that you'll find interesting on that page. So that's all I have on that project for tonight. Stay tuned. Richard, why don't we go on to our our close for tonight, where we talk about the coaching and the care program and anything else you wanted to add.
Well, yeah, might as well talk about that coaching and the care. It's a very vital program for our veterans and their families. And as we said, it is called Coaching into Care, and it's just what it says. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and transitioning and loved ones can help. Coaching into Care offers free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call toll-free at 1-888-823-7458. It's hours on Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching into Care number is 1-888-823-7458. In addition, I'd like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has the Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. David, why don't you sign us off, and I'll see you on Wednesday at the airport.
Yeah, well, we'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in tonight. We hope you found it interesting, our discussion about the Cost of War and Peace Building multimedia project that we're working on. We certainly invite your involvement. We invite your help and support, however you're able to do that. It'll be an ongoing, the idea is an ongoing program, not just one or two documentaries, but an ongoing series. So there's a lot of time and an incredible amount of work. As Richard said earlier, you know, when you get into this type of project, you quickly realize that nothing is easy as easy as it may superficially appear. There's a lot of research because we're trying to make a first-class, informative, accurate, truthful, educational series of documentaries. So there are, you know, countless number of books out there, countless number of experts, and trying to gather that information and present it in a very informative but also captivating way that people are going to want to watch and people will watch. Because if people don't watch it, what good is it? So that's our goal. Get involved. Help us if you can. So I'd like to thank you all very much for listening to this edition of the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. As Richard said, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli, and also Corey and Hurley Law Group. And we'd like to give a special thanks to our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom. And we hope that you all will tune in next week, at the same time, same station. We'll have another edition of the Veterans News Hour for you. Until then, hope you have a great week. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on bbsradio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.